Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Fans of Power Podcast, and I'm Brian Ozone, and with me is Joe Amato and Tyler Baker. What's up, guys? What's going on?
Hey, hey, hey.
I'm ready to take a bite out of this podcast. I'm like the McGruff of the He-Man fan community.
Take a bite out of crime and see it in years.
So, anything new? Anything exciting? I have to say, man.
I see the Beast Man in the mail. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I got them too. I got them too, but I actually got the Han Solo Power Sword necklace the other day.
It is Han Solo?
Yeah, that's the name of the guy who made it.
Oh, I thought you were saying like you bought like some, you know, Star Wars.
I didn't know he was talking about.
Thinking, Brian has that habit of butchering certain words. I thought he came out and said, Han Solo. I got this, you know, exclusive, you know, George Lucas related to Han Solo here.
Was it? You said you got a Han Solo necklace, or what's this again?
It's sweet, man. It's nice. It's really.
I mean,
nice.
What is it though?
The jeweler, like the Battle Cat ring and the sword necklace and stuff.
I didn't get any of the rings yet. I got the earrings. I got the Power Sword necklace, and I got the Havoc staff and Evelyn bracelet thing.
What are they, listeners that don't know, like me, what are these things exactly? I mean, are they original things that I cast from something else, or what is it?
No, it's new, sort of, a couple months maybe. You got the Power Sword rings.
Is this official licensed stuff or custom stuff, or what is it? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's on the Malaxy, Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. John Atkin just put it up the other day.
Okay.
They got earrings. Power Sword earrings. I got a Power Sword necklace. It's all silver or stainless steel. I'm not sure. One or the other. A sterling silver. They have a Havoc staff. And on the other side of it is Evelyn's staff, like the ball. So it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's like a bracelet. They also have the Triclops ring. And a Battle Cat two-piece ring. Like, he can take his mask off, and it's two separate rings. So you can put it together for one ring.
Huh. How much do these things run for people in case they want to get them?
I don't remember. Like, 40, 50.
Do you know the website that they can go to? Is it called Han Solo?
I got some. They just got on BigBadToyStore.com. I mean, they're all over the place. But those are the two sites that I got my stuff on.
Okay. All right, sounds cool. Sounds different. I knew nothing about those things.
It's cool. It's cool stuff for guys, you know. Like, you know, we don't have any, you know, jewelry or whatnot. So it's really cool that they made this stuff, and you know, the price is probably a little more than what it should be, but it's cool. I like it. I bought some stuff, and the guy's name, I guess, the designer is Han Solo. So that's where that came from.
Sounds cool. All right. Oh, yeah. I'm glad, like I said, at least people know about it now. And you said it's sterling silver. Is that what it is or what?
Yeah, I think it's sterling silver or I don't know. I don't have my necklace on. It's upstairs.
Are you going to make it some cosmic key earrings?
Exactly.
Cosmic key earrings. That'd be
now,
sweet.
Brian, awesome that be. Brian, you got to take a picture, you know, wearing the earrings and the necklace and, you know.
Yeah, Brian's got to be blinging.
Yeah. Sure. I'll throw the I'm too sexy on too while I'm doing it.
That's right. Give it out to the listeners.
Head off to the side, you know, doing the whole you can't see me thing with the five rings on his or four rings on there. You know,
lost all the
four
listeners.
Or five necklaces hanging around his neck as they're swinging around there. Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that too.
I know you could.
Well, did we recently get any feedback from the
we got some more mail, guys. We got some more voicemail, so I guess we'll listen to it now.
Okay.
And we'll come back and we'll talk about it. So let's give it a listen.
Hey guys, this is for Fans of Power. This is Walt Hancock. But I just wanted to throw in my two cents. I love the show. The show is great. I think that you know, having a podcast, you have every right to criticize or have an opinion, especially, you know, with the last podcast about who is going to direct the movie, the way the movie should go. But maybe the movie should be more about the villains. Like, instead of having a He-Man movie or, you know, Matthew Norton, it should be more about maybe a Skeletor movie or, you know, maybe even a Hordak movie. And then bring in the world and then bring in the heroes going against them. But maybe the hook this time should be a movie based around the villains and not make the villains into like a complex, not totally evil type of villains, but make them evil, but kind of base the story around the villains, how terrible they are, and then show how eventually they will be defeated by the heroes. So that's just my two cents. All right, thanks for listening. Bye.
All right. So what do you guys think?
Absolutely
ahead,
brilliant.
Charlie, you get it up.
I got to thank Mr. Walt Hancock for sending that in. Well, it's about time. I almost feel like the general consensus too is not that we're promoting, you know, boycotting any kind of new He-Man movie, but I think, you know, the idea that, you know, why shouldn't we question the integrity and the means of why this movie is being made? What are you trying to do here? Are you trying to just make a quick fix because the other, like Transformers, is making tons of money, even though it's pissing off the 80s fans left and right, and the 5-year-olds who don't know any better still buying the toys and going to the movies and thinking Marky Mark is a fantastic leading man when he ought to be put to sleep? You know, I think it's good to, like, you know, really question, you know, is this the right direction? And already just by Sony's track record and their gun for hire director and McGee, you know, it's a piss poor decision already. And I think everybody should be scared to death. And, I mean, if there's any question, anybody who's listening to this and doesn't know anything about this guy, I would never recommend this suicidal idea here. But go watch Terminator Salvation. And if you're a fan of the Terminator series, even if you're a fan of Terminator 3, hand, hand, wink, wink, they know who I'm talking about when I say that. You know,
subliminal messages?
Yeah, he's listening right now. and he says Salvation, you know, sucks balls. And it does. And this is coming from someone who, you know, went in and saw that movie with, you know, I thought the trailers were pretty good. I had an open mind about it. It was not something where I'm like, oh, it's McGee. I'm like, all right, I'm going to give this movie a shot. And I walked out of there. I was just angry, you know. And this is not somebody that you want, you know, casting a very generic-looking, pretty boy to play the most powerful man in the universe, and casting an over-the-top actor to play Skeletor, and casting a woman who tries so hard to be evil, and you just want to, you know, grab a hook and pull her off the screen because she's, you know, it's like showing up the scenery with how bad she's acting, trying to be evil and stuff like that. I mean, it just spells disaster written all over it, you know. And it just I almost feel like, you know, the rights for this film just need to change hands again and go to somebody. I mean, it's changed hands from, I think, Warner Brothers had it for a while, Columbia, you know, Sony's got it, and who knows who's had the rights for the film, you know, in between all that, you know.
I've lost track. And it's not, you're right, it's not at all that we don't want a movie to happen. Of course we want a movie to happen. It's just, if it's to be done, you'd hope it'd be done right. And it's like when our other viewer, when they listened the one time when it was Mark, I believe, when, you know, he said, you know, how can you get something, you know, how can a guy get credit if you don't give him a chance? But it's like we said, this guy does have movies under his belt, and to some they might be okay, but to others they might not be the best. I mean, to know that, hey, he did the two Charlie's Angels films, and hey, he did Terminator Salvation. Some people might say, my God, that's just garbage, and if those were bad, what's he going to do to Masters of the Universe? And I still, like I said, the only reason I'm really not getting worked up about anything is, we've seen it again, like you just said. How many times has it gone from a different producer and a director, a writer, a company? I have no faith that this is going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. That's why I'm not getting scared. It's because, look, he's already talking about, hey, and I'm going to go talk. We're going to get this going. Have we heard anything just again? It's nothing. It's more
just
of the same.
It's just not, right? It's right. It is the same. But it's not enough to get your juices flowing anymore. For me, I've had it. Like I've said for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this. And I just want concrete evidence of something good, and I'll be happy. Don't give me anything half-assed. Don't give me anything that's going to be just to please us or whatever. No, just give us something good, something that's going to make it worth it. It's been 30 years almost. Make it worth it for a movie. Just don't throw anything on the plate and expect us to drool over it and say, yes, it's going to be great. You're going to love it. No, it's not. It sucks. You know, give us what we deserve. We're a passionate community. We like what we like. We love what we love. Don't give us something that you think and expect us to like. Meanwhile, it's, you know, don't sugarcoat it. Do it right. Don't just wait for McG to step on your doorstep. Get the right guy. I mean, you waited this long. What's another 5 years, 4 years, 2 years? You know, just do it right. Don't give us
something
that's going to make.
It'll be another 5 years. Don't worry.
I'm sure we are. I'm sure we're definitely going to be waiting until
we get to keep harping on it. For everybody out there that thinks, oh, God, all they're doing is talking about the movie. I mean, we're not harping on it. Just like I said, we keep getting all these messages from the listeners, and they want us to ask. So we'll just, like I said, we're just discussing it. And
every time Sony farts and throws the name Master of the Universe attached to it, you know, the people seem to get excited. I'm like, you people clearly have, you know, and I want people to understand, it's like, do not get your hopes up about anything. And first off, too, all the other major studios who are pushing films, when they release something about a movie they're going to do, they are actually releasing something that is actually going. There's actually the ball is rolling. They're not just talking out of their butt. Sony has done nothing but just throw out random remarks. I mean, was it last year? I think around the time they hired, you know, the hipster McG, they is like, oh, look, it's McG posing with Snake Mountain. Oh, man, it's going to be good. I mean he's standing next to Snake Mountain with the Sony exec. Oh, my gosh, the Spells A-plus movie.
And how long ago was that? I mean,
that was last year. And then the year before that, I think the same Sony, or maybe it was last year, where they release a very poorly designed logo for Master of the Universe and expecting, well, we should have some exciting news to release come Comic-Con. Well, nothing came at Comic-Con.
And that was spread like crazy. Remember when that logo came out? Oh, my God, everybody said, oh, look, it's happening. It's happening. And that's when I did my classic.
And they showed a Battle Cat, too, no?
Yeah, that very generic black and white picture of Battle Cat. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not blowing my skirt up, gentlemen. It's
you know
just
when it
like
shows? I'll tell you what.
Influence.
This is when it shows and irritates me that a person really doesn't know Masters. And I'm going to say it just like this. When you say, this is going to be like Game of Thrones, when you compare an established property to another established property, you've already screwed up. Masters of the Universe needs not be compared to anything. It doesn't need to be compared. It's its own entity. So don't say it's like Game of Thrones. It's like this. No, it's Masters of the Universe. Here you go. This is what we're giving you. Get fans excited like that. When you compare, that means you're not passionate about it and you don't have a good knowledge of it. I mean, Jesus, do you hear that? Yeah, like when Ninja Turtles come out, like, oh, God, this is going to be like Battletoads on steroids, and G.I. Joe, it's going to be like, I don't know, the greatest army movie ever or some generic thing.
It could be like The Mummy Returns times three.
There, you don't have to sell Masters of the Universe. Basically,
what he's
doing is he's selling it by comparing it. You know what I mean? Like,
compare.
He's giving you something that if you don't know what you're talking about, there's plenty of people who know who He-Man and Masters of the Universe are. There's plenty
exactly.
of people. Even though they might not collect it, they know who they are. They might have grown out of the collecting stage.
Brian, I bet you remember this movie. There was a movie that came out, and it was, oh, dear God. I'm hoping – see, the thing is, to me, it was so forgettable. But I remember how when it came out in the 90s, they compared it to, like, Star Wars. I think it was Starship – that was it. Starship Troopers. They said
Starship Troopers. Yes. Yeah.
They said Star Wars.
I went to an advanced screening of that. I came out
laughing. Do you remember how they advertised it? Do you remember how they promoted – they said it's Star Wars for the new generation. I was like, goodbye.
Yeah,
you're done already.
That's terrible. And they made, like, five of them.
Yeah, exactly. It's just – the comparisons drive me insane. So, yes, whoever does it, do it right. Don't compare to nothing else. And be proud and be confident and know that this is an established property that has tons of different stories for it. And it has its characters. Write a freaking story. It's not rocket science. It really isn't.
I just want
to
say one thing.
His way of actually a throw of comparing to something that clearly it's a show that has no limits when it comes to violence and nudity, sexual content, language.
Great comparison, huh?
Yeah, you're going to sit there and say that this movie based on a children's 80s property is going to be greater than a show that has, you know, naked women and heads being cut off and people being torn to pieces and dragons eating people on screen, and people are talking about rape and slavery and this and that, and
wieners.
You know, it's just like it's a cheap way of advertising and getting hype up from this movie, which shows you the man doesn't have a clue what he's doing. And this is the man that Sony has just like, we just need someone we're familiar with. We got a property. We're desperate to make money on it because we can't even, you know, button our own pants, you know, let alone get an actual franchise going with something that, you know, has a lot of substance and it's well known.
It's everything you need. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't know what people.
Well, look, I mean, how many times too have they gone through directors just with it being at Sony already? You know, they've gone through so many scripts and directors, and I remember years ago that jackass. He was one of like the supposed hot script writers in Hollywood, Justin Marks or something like that. He wrote a god-awful idea where Skeletor is like this emo character wearing a helmet over his head, and he wants people to love him, but he keeps his face covered up. I mean, it just made you want to go hang yourself after you watched it. Like, it's like, you paid the, like, I always want to quote Kevin Smith when people make this. It's like, you paid this guy? Can you get the money back to write this script? It was awful. It was like, please, God, and, thankfully for all of us, it never happened. You know, but it just shows you that they have been trying and trying and trying and trying, and really it just shows you that the people who have the rights to this film don't have a clue about what this property is. Yeah. I mean, it's really I don't find it to be any more complicated than G.I. Joe or Transformers or Turtles. There's a big world in it that you can really build around and throw in a lot of in-depth details and things like that. But it's not a complicated story. You got a castle, one guy wants it, the other guy's got to protect it. That's it. You know, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. And I don't want it compared to Lord of the Rings, because that is something else you cannot compare it to, not Game of Thrones, nothing else. And it's in the hands of a bunch of dinks. I mean, it just.
Is that how you really feel?
Well, you know, this is just kind of random thoughts out of my head here. But people do need to challenge this stuff. It should not go unchecked. I mean, at least, not that I'm saying that the fans could get to the extent that the way Ghostbusters fans did when they let the voices heard about, you know, the most disliked trailer on YouTube. Period. You know, I think if they really understood like who's really got the rights to this film, I think people would be, you know, scared out of their mind to think we're going to get a movie that's about the same quality as the first G.I. Joe film, you know, where everyone's going to be wearing like the same kind of outfits because it's all cool and slick.
Oh, don't do that. No, don't say that. Oh my God, if that happened where they all have some kind of like the heroes have a universal outfit and the villains. That would be a hot mess.
All the masters got to wear these tricked out silver suits with armor that enhances, like, you know, and all this other crap. And you got Marlon Wayans playing Stratos or something ridiculous like that, you know. And yeah, it's not going to work, people, until you get somebody who is, you know, I think it needs to be an unknown director.
Yeah.
A young director who loves sword and sorcery, who has an affinity for Frank Frazetta artwork and the stories of Conan, you know, the roots of the original He-Man, you know, with the what Alcala fans love is that original, you know, hard tone where it looked very grim and gritty and you saw blood and some of that. I mean, at least with, you know, someone who's a fan of that kind of storytelling, not something that looks so pretty and cool and digital looking on screen, man, with bright colors, you know. It's like someone like Justin Lin, you know, who directed like Fast and Furious, and I don't know if people like the new Star Trek movie or not, but I just think of him as like, you know, someone who would, you know, come up with like all tricked out battle rams, man, and attack tracks that have like a cool, you know, beat to it when it was going up and down and this. I don't know, it just.
Well, speaking of that,
so let's go forward. We've been talking about this, I think, way too much lately. So
yeah, I agree.
Let's do something different. I don't want to be repetitive and give people a headache about it.
I was gonna say
I got a headache already.
Quick thing about what Walt asked, though. I mean, he was saying, you know, what would you think of a darker tone from the villain's perspective? I mean, real quick, just to address that, since he did ask that, I mean, yeah, I would also, yeah. I would embrace and I would love to
I would
see
like
something.
That too. That,
I mean, I would like I would love to see it. I just don't, since it's not been established as a movie yet and we don't have anything, I know they wouldn't take the risk of doing that. But if, like, let's say they had two of them out and by the third one they went that angle, I could see it happening and I would love to see it. Just to let you know, Walt, I mean, I appreciate the question that you asked, but yeah, I'd like a darker tone from the villain's perspective. That would be unique.
No, without a doubt. I mean, well, it's just like DC. This is the Suicide Squad is like their third movie now. It was Man of Steel was supposedly the first one, then Batman vs. Superman, and then the Suicide Squad. So, yeah, I can see that happening, the second, or third, fourth movie, maybe, if they ever got past the first one or first script. But, you know, that's another story. And, yeah, I mean, it'd be totally cool to see it from the villain's perspective of how they, you know, their day-to-day activities, what they do, and not so much the good guys like we always see. So, yeah, it's a great idea, Walt. Thank you for sharing it with us and the rest of the listeners.
Yes. Absolutely. Really appreciate you taking the time to send that. It was a much enjoyed message and encourage you to do it again. And anybody else who listens to it, you know, send us voicemail, all kinds of things you want to hear or want to say.
And rest in peace there, Gene Wilder.
Yeah, Willy Wonka, dang it. Now, yeah. That's sad.
Very sad.
Top movies. One of my all time favorites.
Yep.
Well, what did you want to transition into now?
What do you guys feel like doing? You want to, let's just do.
I think it's time to hit the squared circle again.
We're going to do something crazy. It'll be a little random, a little weird, a little improvised. I asked some fans who their top two characters were from each faction, not including the leaders. And by using that, we're just going to try to do some fun, crazy little improv thing of a wrestling style elimination, or if you will, with the characters from, you know, Masters of the Universe, Princess of Power, whatever. So hopefully you guys like it.
With Dirt.
Yeah, and with some help from Dirt, exactly. If you guys like it, cool. You can let us know. If you thought it was nuts and goofy, then hey, we won't do it no more. But we're just going to try something fun, something different.
With send us a voicemail, please. Let us know what you feel.
Yeah, so just with that being said, how about Dirt, you introduce it, and from there, we will just go with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dirt is out. Howard Fink.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for your Eternian and Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Elimination Match. Four teams can come to the ring. Any member of any team may tag any other participant into the match. If one member of the team is eliminated, his or her partner will continue until only one wrestler remains. Introducing first, from the Snake Pit, at a total combined weight of 550 pounds, Tongue Lasher and Rattler, the Snake Men.
Oh, shoot. Look at him coming to the ring. Oh, Tyler, I don't know. What do you think, Brian? They look pretty wicked coming.
They're looking kind of silly and sneaky today, boy.
Look at that Tongue Lasher in there, man. What a badass he is. Him and Rattler both, man. They're just ready to just...
Well, he's known as the general, so, you know, he, you know.
But they got a cocky walk, especially Rattler. Look at how he's coming up. Shoot, there in the ring. Well, let's see who's coming in next.
Ropes like he belongs there.
Oh, yeah.
Team number two from the Fright Zone at a total combined weight of 310 pounds, Shadow Weaver and Mantenna, the Horde.
Now, that's my type of lady. Let me tell you.
How did they weigh her?
Oh, yeah.
How did they even get her weight? I don't understand. How did they weigh her? I mean, is she part of that total combined weight?
It's an estimated weight. It's an estimated weight.
You think she really has boobs underneath that outfit? Or it's just like air?
You know, it's a new device, I guess, you know, to the implant.
She's just floating to the ring.
It's Horde Science. Horde Science perfected her breasts. I think that's what it is.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
It's like those air pocket bubbles that you get in the mail. You know,
I'll ask her after the match.
Oh, would you stop, Tyler?
Team number three from the Dark Hemisphere at a total combined weight of 320 pounds, Triclops and Evil Lyn, the Evil Warriors.
Oh, shoot. Take her out. Look at Triclops. Man, what is wrong with Evil Lyn? She's looking a little extra upset. She's almost looking back like she didn't want her weight mentioned. What is it? I wouldn't be asking about the women.
Typical of old woman from the Dark Hemisphere.
You said that. I didn't say that, Tyler.
I'll be probably more than happy to say it right to her face right after the match.
Yeah, when she's unconscious, right?
Right.
Well, we're not going to... I'd like to keep that, you know, little hush-hush either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a call right now. I'm calling it right now. I'm pretty sure... Triclops is gonna lead his team to victory here tonight. Here, people, I'm making it right now. I am the master of trivia when it comes to Master of the Universe. Here, people, I'm the equivalent of Bobby the Brain Heenan here. It's a real treat for me to be even sharing my information with you guys right now. And I'm calling it right now that this team is going to be the sole survivors of this elimination match. Here, people.
The only thing you got in common with Bobby the Brain Heenan is that you both could be called the Weasel. All right.
Hey, we got blonde hair too.
And you got blonde hair too.
Brian, can I sit where you're sitting? I don't even want to sit next to Tyler.
I know. My ego's too big for both of you here, so just scoot on over there. I need a lot of, you know, oxygen here to get to my brain.
Wait, here comes the last team.
Finally,
last team?
Team number 4. From Eterno City at a total combined weight of 675 pounds, Ram Man and Man at Arms, Jesus. The Heroic Warriors.
I'm calling Man at Arms.
That's, look at that, Jesus, that has to be Ram Man with the most of that weight. That's a big boy coming to the ring. This ain't the one from Filmation. That's MYP Ram Man coming to the ring.
I swear, if I ever see Duncan walking down the hallway, I'm going to dump his books right out of his hands, that big science geek. What a dork.
Well, you have a lot of nerve. I wouldn't say that to his face, and I don't think you would. You usually hide behind this microphone half the time.
Are you kidding? Give me the opportunity, man. I'll tell him right now. Give me the mic. Just tell Dirt to give me the mic when he's all done there.
Yeah, we'll do that. Well, all four of them are, all the teams are in the ring right now. They're all looking at each other. There's looks like they're just
got
circling.
Got that stare down, man. They can cut each other with that stare, let me tell you.
Jesus. Oh, speaking of stares, would you look at that? Shadow Weaver and Evil Lynn have not taken their eyes off each other. My
it's
God.
A cat fighting awaits.
That's right. Everybody's clearing
well,
the ring.
They're both aware that I made dates with both of them after the match, so I'm quite sure they're like thinking, you know, one of them's only going to be walking out of the arena with me
probably
tonight.
Probably thinking
so.
That's suicide then. Jeez.
Most likely. And they have every right to kill themselves over me. I mean, why not?
Yeah, you wish. Well, it looks like those two might be starting. I mean, I haven't heard have they rang the bell? They haven't even rang the bell. Well, the referee's going to sound for the bell. Wait a second. Wait a second. Did you see that? Mantenna just blasted. You didn't see that. Mantenna just blasted.
I can't believe that happened.
Right in the back. Oh, hey, Triclops. Triclops just hit Shadow Weaver in the back. Did the referee even see it? They're just laid out.
So.
Zodak doesn't see anything. He's a cosmic enforcer.
Yeah, because he's the referee, but he didn't see anything. They're just... Oh, now the bell goes off, but they're laying. How do you explain that, Tyler? Now, do you say that's fair, what just happened?
Well, they got a two...
Absolutely. Their mind should have been paying attention to their full surroundings, and obviously they're too occupied on who's going out with me after the match here.
Well, Jesus, I mean, what are they going to... They're just going to have to count, then. They're laying there. They can't even do nothing. And
all right,
that was the
come
biggest...
on, Zodak. Do your job. Be Mr. Neutral here. You're going to have to follow the rules. You can't sit there and assist evil and tell good to, like, you know, get going here.
He's up to 5, 6, yep. 7, 8. Oh, come on. No, not like this. 9, 10. Well, that's it. They've both been... Oh, crap.
We're out of the match, boys. It's all been from here.
Well, they're both on the ground. It's easy pickings for me tonight.
Well, Jesus, I mean, well, there they go. Mantenna's dragging out Shadow Weaver. Triclops dragging out Evelyn. Well, Brian, who's starting off now? I can't even see what's going on because everybody's in the way. What's going on?
Got Ram Man in that way. I can't see. I don't know, man. To get around him is tough. I'm going to have to get up and move around.
Right.
What's that? Rattler and Duncan, I think, I believe. Yeah, they're in the middle of the ring, and they're locked up. They got a little... and Rattler's wrapping his neck around Duncan. Squeezing the life out of him.
Now that's a choke. That's a choke. He's got a 5 count. 1.
He does.
He let go. He's doing it again. Now, Tyler, now that's a clear choke. He's not even looking like he's letting go this time.
And he shouldn't. I mean, he's wrapped around like the weakest link of this entire match here. He needs to go ahead and just finish this guy off and put him out of his misery and send him back to band camp so we can start selling candy for it.
That's illegal, though. All right, wait. There you go.
How is it illegal?
Well, it's illegal because you only got a 5 count to do it, and he's going beyond the 5 count.
Well, he's just
taking a little note from King Kong Bundy here.
It's crap. Well, there he goes. He just threw Man-at-Arms against the ropes. Man-at-Arms ducks, came off. He just hit him with a drop kick. Well, there you go. At least that's a good move. Wait.
Oh, he's going to tag Tongue Lasher. Tongue Lasher's going to the top rope here. He's going to finish it off with the Tongue Lash Splash.
Tongue Lash Splash.
Oh, dear God. Look at that 360 splash right on dumb old Duncan there. And no scientific equipment to get him out of this here.
Did he get the count? What do we got going?
We got 1. 2.
He's going to get it.
3.
Oh, crap, man at arms. Oh, come on. He just got rid of man at arms. Well, man at arms.
The Snake Men are the only team with 2 guys left, boys.
Yep, he can head back and sell candy bars for band now.
No, he'll come up with some new invention for Orko to stay out of his his lab.
Ram Man just walked into the ring, and oh, of course, just like a snake and a coward, look what happened. Tongue Lasher went out, and he just
Coward's
tagged
back
in
the corner.
Yep. But he went to another corner. He just tagged in Mantenna. Oh,
he's tagging in the Fresh Guys. They know exactly what they're doing. That is why they're the Snake Men.
Yeah, exactly. I guess so. But now we have Mantenna against Ram Man, and Mantenna doesn't look like he could do a sneak attack this time. It's face-to-face, so no cheating like he did at the beginning of the match.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're going to see any more of that anytime
soon. Went for
it's
a stun beam.
Ram Man's back.
Exactly. Ram Man, he went under the... There he goes. He just ran off the ropes. Bam! He just flew off. He just hit Mantenna right in the chest. Mantenna bounced off the rope. He hit the ground. Ram Man's going to the top himself, too. He's going to go for a splash.
Well, that's foolish. He's too heavy to be going to the top rope.
I know. I can't believe he jumped. Oh, and he missed. Oh, and there goes a quick tag. Mantenna just went out, and he just tagged in Triclops. Let's see what Triclops does for
this. Oh, here we go, people. Here comes T.E. Scope.
He's trying to pick up Ram. He can't slam him.
Are you kidding? He's the strongest man from Dark Hemisphere. He can do anything.
Lex Luger slams Yokozuna. Anything can happen after that.
Let's see. Oh, the weight! His legs just collapsed. Ram Man fell on him. 1, 2, 3.
No, he kicked out. No, he didn't.
He's out. He's done.
Oh, boy.
No, what do we have?
I'm done here, people. This is an animal. Where's the ref on this, man? He's clearly, he's not being neutral at all here. He's clearly helping out the Heroic Warriors here, man. And I'm filing complaints after this match.
You see what you want to see, Tyler. We all see what happened right there. That was a clean count that he just had. Brian's seen it too.
I'll have this whole match recalled, and they will restart the match by the time I'm done with it.
Watch Rat Lord with that tail of his. He might turn around and smack him. Smack Ram Man right in his mush.
He popped him in the back of the head, but it didn't do nothing with that giant helmet. I don't see how anybody's going to stop Ram Man.
He's going to be a tough contender to put down, man.
He just pushed him back into the corner with Tongue Lasher. Oh, now that's a cheat, and that's a double team. Look at that. The referee should do something right there. Tongue Lasher's holding him while Rattler's hitting Ram Man.
Oh, and he's putting his tongue around his neck to tighten the grip. Rattler's just working at the midsection. He's hitting Rammy in the breadbasket there. Look at them go at it there. They're wearing down the giant, as I knew they would. He's going to get gassed up any moment here, people. And then Rammy is going to be heading back to the lockers.
He actually looks like he is starting to go. Are you kidding? He's starting to drop down.
Look at him breathing heavy there.
He's starting to wear down.
I think his tongue, though. Now, didn't they say that wasn't supposed to even be allowed in the match? Because I thought it was poisonous. Isn't that illegal?
You were citing way too much with Zodak here, Joe.
It's like a foreign object, though. There's no way he should be able to use
that. It's part of his body. He can't help that. He's just taking advantage of his strengths.
That's ridiculous. And look, now Ram Man just collapsed. Let's see. Tongue Lasher got on him. Was there even a tag? I didn't even see a tag. How was he on him? 1, 2, 3. And Ram Man's eliminated.
See you later.
How about that?
So I guess you were wrong, Tyler.
You love the villains. Now, what do we have? It's the Snake Men left against Mantenna.
Team. They've still got both people of their team.
2 Snake Men, and just Mantenna is all by himself.
I will say there's some bad blood, because these two used to work alongside Mantenna for quite a while here. So who knows? Maybe it could be old friendships building up, or it could be they can't wait to crush the Horde, or the Horde is like really got a lot of animosity towards these former Hordesmen.
Now, would you look at that? Look at Mantenna being a coward. He's going up. He wants to shake hands now with Tongue Lasher. Are you kidding me?
Setting him up.
Oh, Jesus. He just kicked him with his back leg. He's got 4 of them. He just kicked him right in his balls. Tongue Lasher, he's down.
Oh, look at you. And why are you supporting a kick to the groin there with extra legs there, Joe?
Well, hey,
he's going down the count. He's got him hooked.
He's not. He's going to kick out of this.
3. He got him, too. That's it. It's just Rattler and Mantenna. They're the only 2 left.
God, who would have thought these would have been in the finals?
I could spit nails right now.
He's gloating. Look at him. He's smiling. And he's gloating. Now, that's unbelievable.
The wrong thing to do at the wrong time, though.
That could be. Well, let's see.
Back to Rattler.
All right. Well, Rattler, he threw Tongue. I'm sorry. I'm getting so excited. Rattler just threw Mantenna against the ropes. Wait. Mantenna reversed it. There goes Rattler off the ropes. Wait, what the heck just happened? Rattler, how did he just fall? He just hit the ropes. What happened? Wait, Mantana just, he schoolboyed, he rolled him up. One, two, three. I don't understand. What the heck just happened? Mantana won?
Ladies and what is that in the ropes?
The winner of this match, Mantana!
Play. We got to go to replay there. Let's see what happened. Wait a second. Did you just see what happened? Brian, that rope, it's not just a rope. That's Imp. Imp was the rope the whole time.
No way.
He grabbed his leg.
Look, if you look, you can see his face in it.
Son of a gun, he cheated.
See that live action.
Has the ref been lobotomized here? I mean, good grief. His head is up in the clouds. I mean, he's not paying attention to anything that's going on in this ring here at all the entire night.
Exactly. For being a forcer in neutral, I mean, he's way too neutral. But you're right. That helmet must be covering his eyes. He's blind, but that's clear as day on the replay. But they're not going to reverse the decision. So Mantana is the winner of the four-way Eternian tag team match. Oh, my God. I never thought I would have seen that happen.
Holy cow. Wow.
Well, there we go.
I am absolutely ashamed here, people. This is a travesty here. I mean, this is absolutely devastating here. I mean, can anybody believe, the nonsense that's going on in this ring here tonight? Good grief.
I'm surprised you didn't condone it, though. You love all the cheaters, so aren't you happy for Mantana? What just happened with Imp? You probably knew he was there the whole time.
No, because the ref was clearly not paying attention there.
What a hypocrite.
He's actually interfering with the actual ring itself. I mean, it's like, someone check the rule book for crying out loud.
And Brian, that's why we don't like talking with Tyler and having him next to us, because he's a hypocrite the entire time during the match.
All right, boys and girls.
Whatever you want to say there, people. Whatever you want to say.
And we're going to take a commercial break. Come back
next
week.
Pay-per-view.
Your podcast, Raw. Fans of Power podcast on Raw. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a podcast from PopCultureNetwork.com.
And we're back, boys and girls. Hope you guys liked our little fatal four-way there that we did. A little impromptu stuff that we like to do here on the show and keep it fresh. And we're going to go to Joe, and he's going to do the next bit for you. Joe, take it away, bro.
Okay. Well, this next one like I said, it's about somebody that you really don't hear much about at all, and it's about Strobo, but it's also about...
Love the character.
Yeah, exactly. It's also about his first ever appearance back in the fall 1988 Masters of the Universe magazine. Now, you remember, a lot of people, they didn't even remember half the comics that were in those, because remember, those stories were on posters. And yes. if you hung your poster up, you never seen the comic, and if your poster got ripped, you got thrown away. So unfortunately, the story got lost, but... This one it's called The Dark Power of Skeletor, and it does feature Strobo. Now, a lot of people have always wondered, when they first started seeing Strobo, they're like, well, what was going to be his role? Was he going to be a cosmic enforcer? Was it just somebody completely new? And of course, after seeing some of that Errol McCarthy crazy card back art that we've seen recently of all the mix and parts of characters, I have no clue what was going to happen, but I never really seen him when I remember reading this back then. I never seen him as a cosmic enforcer, even though, yes, he does look like Zodak with the head, but it was a different gimmick. In this story, it was about Skeletor getting a piece of something called the Dark Star that was going to put darkness all across Eternia. And with the darkness, he would be able to control basically everything. And it would make He-Man powerless, too. Like if He-Man was in the light, if He-Man was in the darkness, He-Man would lose some of his strength. So that's why I guess the gimmick or the character of Strobo himself was introduced in this, because yes, he brings the light into it, which, then can give He-Man power back and then help him defeat the darkness and destroy the piece of this dark star. I mean,
like they watched the movie Legend before he wrote this story.
you never know. Like I said, cause we're not going to sit here and I'm not going to say the whole story, cause I don't want to take certain parts away from what you've seen and ruin it. Yeah. But we, of course, still always highlight points. And what's cool about this is one of the few times, which, yes, it's been, I guess, maybe done before. But what I liked is Skeletor gained control of Castle Grayskull. That's what's so overlooked about this. In this comic, he gained control of Castle Grayskull. And Zoar was like his prisoner inside there. I mean, many times?
Yeah, just like in the movie.
Yeah, it's like, we got that in the movie, and I don't know how many times that happened in other media. I'm sure it has, and
other things, but you always did want to see Skeletor get in there, so you can chop that up for being something cool for this too. Skeletor got into Grayskull and he was a ruler for a short period of time, but I mean, like, Brian, what were your thoughts when you read it?
I'm biased because I love the character. I always have. Always wanted to get him, and I'm glad we finally did with the Classics collection. Yeah. It was a great story. I loved it. I just wish it was done a little bit better, a little longer, a little more right. in-depth of the character itself. But it was cool for what it was worth. You know, it was definitely a good thing. I'm staring at the figure right now. I mean, I just love it. I really wish we got more of what he actually was. Was he a cosmic enforcer? Was he with Zodak? Or, you know, was it just a get up or, you know, or something like Boba Fett and his, you know, taking his father's armor and making it his own, you know, I would love to know more about the character, but it was a cool little story to get.
Yeah, because that was, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the last issue of that magazine period? So that's the last comic we got?
Yeah, 88, right? Yeah, yeah.
It
could have been.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was the last one. So, I mean, it would have been nice to have something more, but that's all we got. But
it shows you the direction they were going in, too. Like, they were introducing new characters, because I believe they didn't introduce any new characters in those magazines. So it was cool to see that.
Right, right. And like I said, so, I mean, to know about that Errol McCarthy art and maybe they
have that come out too. Yeah. I mean, it only shows you the way that they were going. So God only knows what we would have had.
Yeah. Strobo would have, he would eventually came. He would have been made. But, well, Tyler, your thoughts on the story itself too, when Strobo was a character?
The story was cool because we got to see Squeeze, Blast Attack, and Ninjor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we're seeing, you know, two snake men and an evil warrior working for Skeletor. I'm like, this is genius here. So right. I just seeing Squeeze and Ninjor is like you have my attention on that. But prior to this podcast, I mean, I really had not known. Well, I knew virtually nothing of Strobo. I just knew he was a random character that showed up in some of the other media, and I honestly thought it was a character that showed up in the British annuals and things like that. I didn't know that his only appearance was in the last magazine. I'm a big fan of the magazines, but mainly because of Earl Norm's, you know, posters and cover artwork and things like that.
Right.
But just based on the comic strip alone, it definitely, I get the vibe that he is in a sense like your standard heroic warrior. Obviously, he you think Zodak and me because they really just didn't do a big job of like changing the helmet drastically, you know, kind of like at least with Stinkor, part of his face is covered up, so you initially don't think, oh, that's Merman's face covered black. Or with Mossman, it's like, well, with all the flocking on his face and the different paint job, you don't think Beastman, but with that, it's so easy to think there's some sort of tie to Zodak. But based on reading the comic strip, it clearly comes off as if like he is a scientifically created heroic warrior that, you know, like Strobo, kind of like strobe light, where, you know, he spins around flashing light. Like, mm-hmm. I almost think like if we got an action figure and based on the McCarthy artwork, that if you spun him, he would flicker lights. Like there would be like a switch on his back that if you spun him, he would be flickering light as he spins around.
How cool would that have been?
Looking at the art when he's fighting like the Snake Man Horde Troopers, like as he's spinning, you kind of think the light would be flashing as he's spinning around, you know, mm-hmm. or that he would have a reflector on him that would, you know, generate, you know, flashing lights or something like that. Like, you know, like a strobe light would do.
No, I could picture that if they did, if they kept the
and
sight.
He has a flashlight that turns on too, where they're looking for He-Man. He's down there, trapped around the roots and stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
So yeah, it definitely feels like that. Yeah, that would have been his action feature, that he would be flashing lights, or
and
you
then
could
when you
turn
spin
the switch
it like
on.
Cyclone. Yeah, because he could
yeah, spin it like Cyclone. You do what now?
No, like you said, you could turn on a light like with a button, but if you would have spun them like Cyclone, the light would just go
over the place.
On and off. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could use it like a kid could hold them up as like a flashlight, kind of like Cobra Khan is like a little water gun. But with Strobo, you could hold them up. You know, if you're around in the dark, you're ready to go to bed and you want to have a little night light, you turn Strobo on.
And you know you would have.
Yeah, I think that's a. just based on what I've seen, I think that would have been a brilliant action figure for the toy line for 1988. Had we got him and the Horde Snake Man and all the other, you know, possibilities we could have gotten.
Yeah, there's a lot of craziness that would have happened. Yeah. But yeah, so if nobody's ever seen that, like I said, just you can find the fall 1988 issue. It'll be there. Make sure it has the poster. If you're looking on eBay, make sure it says it has the poster, because that's what the story's on.
Yeah, or I'm sure you can go online. Well, yeah, because you want one of the most epic posters that Earl Norm did for the magazines. I mean, you got Ninja and Blade and Clamp Champ, and you got Snout Spout and Rio Blast and He-Man and Battle Cat, Snake Face and Skeletor all duking out over Castle Grayskull, man.
I loved it. A whole bunch of standard.
Epic as it gets, man.
Yeah, and like I said, and a story that actually was still pretty cool. It's like, you know, Brian, you were saying it wasn't super long, but we know those stories in those magazines weren't really long, but they still tried to say as much as they could. And like I said, a lot still happens. You get a new a character introduced that's new, that's Strobo. You see Skeletor gain control of Castle Grayskull, even if it's short time. You see He-Man so cool actually... Thing. Yeah, you see He-Man to where he's actually not able to get out of something at one point and needs the help of Rio Blast to get out of a situation. It's cool. You see a lot of things you don't see too often in one quick story.
Yeah, and unfortunately it was the last one, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of sadness about that too, you know, because it just... That's what makes 1987 such a bittersweet year in general. I mean, not only did we get a lot of fantastic characters, but just as a reminder, I'm like, this was the end. Like, it just felt like Mattel was still going, and unfortunately, all the kids were moving on at that time, and it's just so sad to think, man, they still, like, they wanted to keep pushing the stuff. We could have gotten, you know, the Powers of Grayskull. We've gotten Strobo and new different Horde Troopers and all kinds of other wild creations. It's just... I've thought so many times about that year. I'm like, man, what if, you know, it's just, but it also makes it kind of fascinating, you know, the whole scenario about the ending of the line, because that Mattel was still planning so many great things that just didn't see the light of day. And
how about this, Tyler? How about this? It was the end. Like, you could say it was the final chapter, just like Friday the 13th. But now you can also say maybe there'll be a new beginning, like Friday the 13th, meaning, come on, Super 7, you can give us all these things that we're talking about.
You're going to sit there and associate the new beginning with all these great He-Man characters here, man.
Shut it. Shut up.
It's like you and that. He's like, here, I'm going to lay this candy bar here, Vic. You just forget it, Vic. Forget about it, you know. I'm always thinking about that chunky kid that gets the axe in the back, you know, for offering a candy bar to Vic.
And what was the chubby kid's name?
I can't remember what his name was. He got chocolate all over the bed sheets and everything like that.
Hey, Tyler, this will make you happy. His name was Joey. How about that?
Joey. So, yep. And look, we have a Joe Amato who has an affinity for wearing Jason masks. So he's avenging the death of this poor kid named Joey. Even though it's not his son, his name was Joey. And Joey sticks up for all Joes. But you know what? My first name is Joe, too. So why aren't you defending me here? Instead, you're pushing a new beginning.
Well, hey, shut up. So anyways, like a new beginning.
You're throwing Jason Lives out before we know it.
That's right. So like a new beginning, Super 7 can be a new beginning for us. They can give us Strobo. They can give us maybe all those crazy things that we've seen from the Errol McCarthy art of all the combinations. Yeah, Strobo already. There you go, like Horde Trooper,
a vintage Strobo, you know, with the flashlight feature.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Vintage. Oh, they could do the vintage stuff. Super 7 gave us all those vintage things we didn't get from, you know, 1988 or whatever and beyond they were gonna do. So we can get the Horde Troopers with the snake heads. We can get that crazy whiplash on a tongue lasher body
and
we can get it all. So like I said, there you go. So it can happen. Super 7 can listen and they can get all the vintage stuff to come back. And we can have that. We can have classics. And the fans could be happy with having everything they want from any kind of style.
You sound like JP from Angels in the Outfield. Hey, it could happen.
Okay, I don't even know who that is. Wait, from who?
Angels in the Outfield. Tony Danza, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Danny Glover, man. That one of, you know, those last few decent Disney movies where it had like actors in it and stuff like that.
God, I might have seen that one time in my
life. Am I the only one on here who's seen Angels in the Outfield?
I seen it one time.
Probably I saw that. It was with Gary Coleman, right?
What?
The original one. Angels in the Outfield.
And yeah, Gary Coleman, he's on third base looking at the umpire. What you talking about?
I swear to God, wasn't he in the original one? It was a remake.
Original.
Are you serious? No.
Are you thinking Danny Glover and Gary Coleman are the same people?
No, Gary Coleman.
Kid. No. Yeah, it was a different kid. That wasn't Gary Coleman, no.
He assumed any little black kid is Gary Coleman.
No, I'm telling you. Guys, use the voicemail option. Back me up. I'm telling you.
Please, I encourage everybody to come out in hordes to let him know that Gary Coleman was not in Angels in the Outfield.
I'm telling you, that was a remake. He was in the original.
They've remade Angels in the Outfield, too.
Google it. They must have, because I definitely saw it.
I hope we get more voicemails and responses about just this particular subject alone than anything else we've discussed tonight.
I'm telling you. Oh,
gosh. I'm going to lay in bed tonight with my hands behind my head with a big smile on my face like Steve Martin in Parenthood, just waiting for all the messages to come rolling in.
I got to Photoshop this. I have got to Photoshop Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman's face on
James. Oh, wait. Dirt's chiming in. Good.
Angels
Dirt.
In the Outfield is a 1994 remake.
Oh!
What? Remake? 51 film.
Oh, 51. There. So Gary Coleman wasn't born.
Okay, well, you know. All right.
But it is a remake. All right.
Well, Gary Coleman was in a baseball movie when he was a kid, and I saw it in the 80s. I'm telling you.
Well, it wasn't Angels in the Outfield. I'll tell you that right now.
I got half of it right. It was a remake, so thanks, Dirt.
That's right. Brian got half right. Oh my god. Oh jeez, why is it we always have this crazy fun moment at the end? Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, I love it.
Because we're high as a kite by the end of all of it.
I don't know. Oh god. I don't even know where I was going with anything because I said that and then Tyler babbled about Angels in the Outfield and I don't even know where we went.
Because
there.
He's like, hey, it could happen. I'm thinking instantly JP. Every time he's trying to be optimistic in the movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he's like, hey, it could happen.
Okay, see? All right.
That's what we need for any time there's a question about like, are we going to get this, like, are we going to get a new He-Man movie? We need a picture of Gary Coleman on JP's face saying, what you talking about? It could happen. There's got to be other people out there who know exactly what I'm talking about when I say it could happen. It can't just be me.
Was in a baseball movie as a child.
Aha!
What was it called? The Kid from Left Field.
Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you.
Okay, well, Brian, hey, we give you credit. You were right. It was the wrong movie, but you were right again. So it was a remake, and he was in a movie. So I apologize. You were correct. Just the wrong title.
Yeah.
Brian is stroking. We will give him that. He's stroking here.
I'm at the plate. I'm not hitting it, though.
No one got the different strokes reference there, did they? Nobody did.
Oh, now I get it.
Anyone?
Yeah. Nothing but crickets.
Nothing, not even a titter.
That's funny.
I know. If we could get like a cricket sound effect put in when I say that.
Crickets.
All right, I'm going to stop because I don't even know where I was going with anything. So I guess, Brian, if you would.
Tyler, give your recommendations out for the week, please.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Mr. Rogers kind of wrapping up the show here, you know? I'm taking my shoes. I'm putting on my cardigan here, you know. I want everyone to know that they're special if, you know, you watch the episode Evil Seed this week. And I'm saying Evil Seed this week. Obviously, it's an episode that most He-Man fans, I would question your fandom at all if you have never watched it and you own, oh, man, I own every volume of the He-Man cartoon on DVD, man. What's Evil Seed now? He's that plant guy.
Is that how they call him?
He's a horribly made figure that I just got in the mail during the week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Remember, that's how everybody talks in Tyler's mind. Everybody talks like this for some reason. That's how they talk.
Or they talk like a Canadian from Southport. Hey, buddy. I've never seen that episode, guy. I'm not your friend.
I'm not your friend, guy.
Oh, here we go. Please keep moving forward because I've never watched South Park. Go.
You're missing out, man.
So, you know, if you're really my buddy or my guy or my friend, then you will have watched the episode Evil Seed, and you're going to watch it again because to tie it into Joe's, babbling of the Friday the 13th series, Barney Cohen, who wrote Evil Seed, also wrote the script for Friday the 13th, the final chapter, which is how he got the inspiration for Evil Seed's demise of, he said, an artichoke. You know, and he kind of, you know, threw that in, I think, with the demise of Jason. He kind of got the idea for Evil Seed. It's all kind of tied together. So it's
Hold on a second. I'm going to ask you. Wait, I got to ask you the same question Cousin Eddie asked Clark. Are you serious, Tyler?
What are you talking about, Joe?
No, are you serious? Did he really
get Oh, yeah. You didn't know about
this? Yes, I'm serious as a heart attack, yeah.
Wait, very serious. Yeah, he got the inspiration for both.
Huh?
If there's any doubt, because there is actual video footage of this in the first volume of the He-Man cartoon that was released by BCI, or if you go on YouTube and look up stories of the He-Man cartoon, like the interviews with the writers and things like that, okay. Or even the best of the first ever DVD release of He-Man, there's an interview with Barney Cohen, and mm-hmm. he talks about how he got the inspiration for Evil Seed and mentions that he was working on Friday the 13th Part 4, the final chapter, around the same time.
Okay.
And he even says, too, like, how come I didn't write any more episodes? Because Filmation never asked me. Nobody ever asked him to write any more episodes other than the class Evil Seed that he did.
No kidding. And that's so iconic. Maybe that's why I love it so much. Hey, check that out. Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing that.
Horror connection, right?
Like exactly. It. That's why I'm the Bobby the Brain Heenan of this podcast, people.
Well, I'm glad you shared that one. That's actually something really interesting I had no clue about. And if you guys haven't seen Friday the 13th Part 4, the final chapter, please see that and watch the end. It's so great to see what happens to Jason's face.
Oh, it's a fantastic sequel, especially Crispin Glover's dance in the movie, too, man.
And he improvised that
awesome,
too.
Awesome, like 80s rock music.
And that was improv, too. All that dancing he did, that was all improv, too.
Absolutely. And my Thundercat reference for this week is going to be Slaves of Castle Plundar. It's one of the earlier episodes. It's a simple episode of the cats versus the mutants, but I believe it's the introduction of the Thunder Tank. Is its first appearance, but it's a fun little episode. You get Jackalman versus Chitara. You get Panther versus Slythe. Tiger versus Monkeyan. In an attempt to save the brute men who are building Castle Plundar for the mutants, so it's a fun, simple episode, but you get a lot of fighting in it, and it's a good, simple episode that gives you your core characters. Mom-Ra is not in this episode, but it's a fun action adventure episode. I highly recommend it from season one.
An episode with no Mom-Ra, I'm not watching that.
Thought you were a true fan, there, guy.
That's right.
He's not your buddy, friend.
I know.
Oh, God, they must be going back to South Park. All right, before we start babbling about that, which I have no clue, let me say my recommendations, which are just places to go, people to talk about, things to see. You can always go to the all-encompassing Masters of the Universe Facebook page, Masters and Mythos. You can go to the Descendants of Grayskull. You can go to the Children of Eternia, the Vintage Obscure page, Motu Nation. All great groups, all great people. How you like that, Tyler? How you like that, Brian? Dirt. Yeah, I'm attacking you all. How you like that? Sorry.
Yeah.
You're plugging stuff as much as Vince McMahon plugs new John Cena t-shirts.
Oh, God. And moving on from John Cena.
That's Brian's just favorite wrestler, by the way.
I can't stop.
I wish Brian had really took his northern accent up a notch and go, oh, God, like a Kennedy.
Can't stand John Cena the Wiener.
Cena the Wiener.
He's wearing a shirt right now. He's got all the posters on the wall. Go ahead, Brian. What you saying?
Check out Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. Check out the All Encompassing page. Go to popculturenetwork.com and go to HeManWorld.com. And until next time, rock on, guys.
And have a powerful day.
I really like Jaws 4 better than Jaws 3 a great deal.
That's an actual quote, or are you just saying that?
I'm just saying.